Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, and I expressed to them I was mad. I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour is now underway, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870. 105.1 FM, or you may be watching the live stream right now, courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News, or you may be listening to the podcast version of the show at WKAR.org. No matter how you may be tuned in, we appreciate the love, all right? Thank you for letting us be a part of your Thursday afternoon. On today's current sports, we will, of course, continue our centered conversation on, of course, the big rivalry matchup between Michigan State and Michigan. Noon kickoff at Spartan Stadium on Fox. Mark D'Antonio versus Jim Harbaugh. Who will win? Well, according to the national media, it's like Michigan is not even playing anybody this weekend. I mean, everybody's choosing Michigan to win this game. Michigan is the touchdown favorite in this game. Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans are feeling good, coming off that huge win on the road in Happy Valley against Penn State. We'll continue to break down this game, and I'll throw out a few numbers that really put in perspective just how dominant Mark D'Antonio has been during his tenure at Michigan State in facing the Wolverines. All right. Also, I've got some brief takeaways when it comes to my Detroit Pistons last night at Little Caesars Arena, topping the Brooklyn Nets in the season opener. I like some things, and I think that, you know, looking at the Pistons moving forward, I think this is a team that, knock on wood, can make the playoffs. And thank you, LeBron James, for going to the Western Conference. That helps as well, right? But when you look at Michigan State, you know, in this conversation with Michigan, we're going to tackle that. We'll get to the Detroit Pistons, the red, white, and royal blue. I also want to make some points on the college basketball investigation, as that trial has taken so many twists and turns and revealed a lot. I'll just say that, okay? And as promised on yesterday's show, we'll play the Otis Wiley versus Alan Gant smackdown that went down last year during rivalry week, right before Michigan State won that rainy battle in Ann Arbor at the Big House, right? We had Otis Wiley, who is a former Michigan State safety, and Alan Gant, former Michigan linebacker, just basically come on the air and just go at it verbally. All right, it was FCC compliant. Thank you, Otis and Alan. We wanted to make this annual, but Alan now is a member of Jim Harbaugh's coaching staff. Right. He's an assistant to the assistant doing great things. Alan, that's my guy. So it wouldn't be a good look if we had Alan Gant, who's now employed by Jim Harbaugh's football team, coming on the air and going at it with Otis again. We just couldn't do that. So we couldn't make it an annual thing. All right. So I was getting a lot of messages from you all, a few emails out there that basically said, Al, are Otis and Alan going to go at it? And then I responded saying, no, Alan's a member of the U of M coaching staff now. Well, they said, okay, well, just can we hear it again? Because it was so good. So we will play that for you all right? You don't want to miss that. It got a bit personal, but they kept it clean. That was the main thing with me, at least. All right, and it's Thursday. And as you all know, we love to hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday. So as you see, our plate runneth over here on this October 18th, 2018. If you would like to be a part of the fun, simply call in 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That's the number you want to dial. Go to, again, facebook.com/WKAR News. We have the live stream up and running there. Comment below that video, and I will do my best. I'll do my best to get to your comments throughout these next 60 minutes. And you can tweet us, tweet the show, at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners, and I've got some help from the one, the only, Justin Frommer.
Jones has height at the top.
O'Korn rolling. Launch it for the end zone. In traffic. Incomplete. Game over. Michigan State wins it in the Big House.
Ah, yeah, I love that. Again, we've been playing some throwback moments from the Michigan and Michigan State football rivalry right before we dive into our quick hit headliners. When it comes to some context for that snippet, Jack Kerwin behind the glass, just put that moment in perspective for us. What was that?
Sure. So that was last year's game between the Spartans and the Wolverines from the Big House Michigan Stadium. The monsoon game, Spartans held on for a 14-10 win. That was the Hail Mary at the end from John O'Korn that was knocked down by Joe Bocci.
Yeah, that was the last chance of hope that U of M had. And the ball, a good throw, sailed in the end zone and then hit the turf. That was it. Michigan State wins. And for those that have seen the Amazon Prime special, like, it's kind of like a Hard Knocks, but just centered around the University of Michigan football team. I believe it's either episode 4 or episode... Yeah, I think it's episode 4. Yeah, it is episode 4. And you can see actually what happened after that ball hit the turf. And Rashawn Gary just breaks down in tears. I mean, like, boo-hoo tears after that one was said and done. You see Chase Winovich sitting right next to him, trying to console him. So, yeah. Spartan fans, if you want to smile about something, feel good about something here on Rivalry Week, just check out that video, all right? All right. Michigan football redshirt freshman linebacker Drew Singleton has decided to leave the program as a transfer. Singleton joined Michigan as the number 80th ranked player nationally per 247 Sports. In the 2017 recruiting class, he played at Paramus Catholic High School in New Jersey, the same school that produced former Michigan star Jabril Peppers and current players Rashawn Gary and Juwan Bushell-Beatty. Singleton, an inside linebacker prospect, has appeared in 4 games this season, mainly in a reserve role as the Wolverines have leaned heavily on third-year linebacker Devin Gill and sophomore Josh Ross, next to junior All-American Devin Bush. All right, the Michigan State women's soccer team will host Rutgers in the final home game of the regular season tonight at DeMartin Stadium. Kick time scheduled for 7 p.m., and that one will be streamed on BTN+. The Spartans will celebrate 3 seniors in their final home game. Brenna Cockrell, Sabrina Marks, and Lexi Warner will be honored before kickoff for senior night. Cool stuff there. And salute to those 3 seniors. All right, my Detroit Pistons in action against the Brooklyn Nets in the season opener last night at Little Caesars Arena. Andre Drummond, 24 points, 20 boards. And the Detroit Pistons won that opener under Dwayne Casey, first-year head coach for the Pistons. 103-100, a tight one over the Brooklyn Nets last night. Blake Griffin added 26 for Detroit. Andre Drummond, again, those 24 points and 20 rebounds in the win. He also had a 3-pointer that went down. It was nothing but the bottom of the net as well. So Drummond, who had been previewing that new 3-point shot, displayed it last night. So we'll see if that's a regular thing throughout the year with Drummond. All right, former Michigan Wolverine, also Caris LeVert, equaled a career high with 27 points for the Nets. The Pistons now travel to Chi-Town Chicago, Denzel Valentine and company, to take on the Bulls this Saturday night. And also, the Detroit Pistons honored Aretha Franklin before the game by playing a recording of her singing the national anthem. Former Detroit Pistons star Isaiah Zeke Thomas, he spoke briefly, asking for a moment of silence for Franklin, who sadly passed away in August. After the moment of silence, and with no additional announcement, a recording of Franklin singing the national anthem at the 04 NBA Finals, which the Pistons took on the LA Lakers, began playing while pitchers scrolled on the scoreboard screen. A very cool moment. A microphone was left unattended at midcourt while the anthem played. All right, again, as I stated, Justin Fromer joins me live here in Studio S, and he has some news on the Detroit Red Wings, who will try and find a dub tonight, Justin.
Yeah, the Red Wings still looking for that first win on the year. Last couple games have been a little ugly. That 8-2 loss, I think it was, against the Bruins, and then 7-4, I believe, against the Canadians. So we'll try again tonight at home or at in Tampa Bay against the Lightning. 7:30 puck drop. And this is the Wings' worst start since the 85-86 campaign when they lost their first 9 games of the season. Only 2 points so far this year. That's tied with 2 other teams for the worst in the NHL. And as Alex said yesterday on the show, they've only 2 players out of the 19 players who have played at least 3 games with a positive plus-minus and have the worst goal against average, with 4.8 goals given up per year. And a minus 16 goal differential, by far the worst in the NHL so far. It's been ugly so far.
That's definitely ugly. And Alec, who's behind the glass engineering today's show, Alec Rio. Alec, yeah, you did bring up those statistics. And I did pose a question to you, as well as Trevor. When it comes to who's going to get that first win, would it be the Pistons or the Wings? Well, we know that answer now. So do the Wings do it tonight?
Not against Tampa Bay. They definitely,
not against Tampa Bay.
They
yeah.
have a better shot. Their next game, they play the Florida Panthers, who are slightly above us. I think they're 31st and we're 32nd. So that might be the chance to get our first dub.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens with the Winged Wheel. Also, when it comes to the Detroit Lions opposition this Sunday, as the Lions will take on the Miami Dolphins, there has been a quarterback change. Justin, what's that news?
Yeah, we are in the midst of Brocktober right now. They are down in Miami. Ryan Tannehill, with his shoulder injury, is going to be out for another week. Brock Osweiler again under center. And he showed up against the Bears last Sunday, 380 yards, 3 touchdowns in their come-from-behind overtime win, and he'll be under center against the Lions. And this is going to be a start to a big stretch for the Lions. Their next 7 opponents have a record of 500 or better. So, you know, at 2-3, with wins against the Patriots and the Packers, we don't know if they're a fluke, if they could sneak into the playoffs. Well, we're going to find out right now with this next stretch of games if the Lions are for real or not this year.
Definitely. And they surprised me when they had that stretch against, you know, the Packers and the Patriots, as you just mentioned, and then also my Dallas Cowboys. This team can surprise some people, and we'll see if that continues starting this Sunday against Brock Osweiler and the Miami Dolphins. A very winnable game for the Honolulu Blue, I would say.
And Matt Patricia's defense is, with the Patriots, the last 4 or 5 times they've played in Miami, they've struggled. They're 1-4 the last 5 times they played in Miami. So,
right.
So, you know, he has the experience of going against that franchise, but has shown his struggles as well.
Definitely. All right. Also, Brad Ausmus, haven't brung that name up here on Current Sports in a while. Brad Ausmus, former manager of the Detroit Tigers, he has formally interviewed for the LA Angels opening, according to national baseball writer John Paul Morosi. This is at least the second formal interview for Ausmus, who also interviewed for the Cincinnati Reds opening. Ausmus was the manager of the Tigers for 4 seasons, 2014 to 2017, posting a record of 314 and 332 with 1 playoff appearance in his first season on the job. This past season, he worked in an advisory role in the Angels front office, leading to speculation that he would be a candidate to succeed longtime manager Mike Scirisia, who stepped down at the end of the year after 19 seasons. All right, and last night's MLB playoff action, quite thrilling, I must say, Justin.
Yeah, yesterday was one of the more weirder days of baseball I've seen, starting with the Dodgers and the Brewers. Dodgers win that game 5-2 in game 5 to take a 3-2 hold on that series. And that game started off pretty interesting with Wade Miley, the starter for the Brewers, going one batter and then getting pulled. And Craig Counsell, the manager for the Brewers, said that it was a strategic thing with most of the batters in the lineup for the Dodgers being right-handers. So Wade Miley's going to go tomorrow in game 6.
Mm-hmm. And just one batter and he got pulled.
Just one batter, 5 pitches. I mean, he walked Cody Bellinger to lead off the game and then got pulled. So but they're facing elimination now. Clayton Kershaw was fantastic last night. 7 innings pitched, just one earned run.
Mm-hmm.
And the weirdness continued going into Boston and Houston, the nightcap, with a potential Jose Altuve home run that may or may not have been interfered with by a fan in right field that got called back.
Right.
And Boston hangs on by a thread, winning that one 8-6 to take a 3-1 lead heading into tonight's Game 5, so that's going to be a great one. And Jackie Bradley Jr. continues to be a force in that series. Had a grand slam the other night.
Mm.
Another 2 runs on a 2-run shot tonight, or last night, excuse me. So 9 RBIs this series, and that game last night, bases loaded, 2 outs, Astros with a chance to maybe win the game if they could get one into the gap or something. Andrew Benintendi, the left fielder for the Red Sox, just lays out to end that game, and we actually have the audio clip for that.
2 outs. Kimbrel deals. Bregman in the air, left field. Benintendi dives, and he makes the catch! Left field. Wow. What a game. What a finish.
Amazing catch, Justin.
That was a risky play. With bases loaded, if that ball drops or gets by him, that's probably going to clear the bases and the Astros win that game. So
right.
That was risky, but for him to come up with that, and Red Sox are now one game away. We're two wins away from a Dodgers-Red Sox World Series. So that,
how crazy would that be?
That would be fantastic for the game.
My goodness. But again, you know, big-time players make big plays and big moments, right? And that was a big-time play. All right. And Steve Penny, the former president and chief executive of USA Gymnastics, was arrested Wednesday on a felony charge of evidence tampering in a Texas investigation into sexual abuse by Larry Nassar, the imprisoned former doctor for the National Gymnastics team. A grand jury in Walker County, Texas, indicted Penny on September 28th on allegations that he had ordered the removal of documents from a national team training center in the county after learning that an investigation had begun into Nassar's behavior at the site. If convicted, Penny could face 2 to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000, according to a statement from the district attorney's office in Walker County. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, share what's on your mind at facebook.com/WKAR News as well on the live stream, and tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Headliners now in the books, and we now transition into just some brief talk. I don't know what more can be said when it comes to this, the big game, Michigan and Michigan State, this Saturday at noon. We have been, of course, chatting about this game since Monday. And, you know, and taking your thoughts as callers and listeners of the program. Yesterday's show, though, was a different feel because we celebrated the 3-year anniversary of the trouble with the snap game as Jalen Watts Jackson etched his name into Spartan lore with one of the greatest plays in Michigan State athletics history. Blake O'Neal fumbling the punt in 2015 at the Big House, Michigan Stadium. Michigan seemed to have the game in the bag, and then that play happens. The ball somehow, some way, ends up in the hands of Jalen Watts Jackson. Jalen runs down the left sideline. He's got some blockers down the field. He crosses the goal line, breaks his hip in the process. Game over. Spartan stun. Wolverine country. So we paid tribute to that moment on yesterday's Current Sports, and many of you shared your thoughts on where you were when that game took place. I shared my story of how I was in the end zone trying to memorize a stand-up that alluded to a Michigan State loss, and then Isaac Constance, my engineer at the time, is shooting that moment, and I kind of lost it for just like 2 seconds and grabbed his shoulder and said, "Oh!" And the camera shakes, and I take my hands off of him because I realize that, yeah, this is some pretty historic stuff that's going down. And then once that moment happens, I grab the cam from him and then shoot everything. And now that video has close to 30,000 views on our WKAR YouTube page. Pretty amazing moment. So we dedicated the show to that 3-year anniversary of the miracle at the Big House. Thank you, Ray. Ray from Indiana. Great timing there, Alec. Right when I had a pause there. Thank you. Yeah, Ray from Indiana. The notorious Michigan hater here on WKAR's Current Sports. We've heard Ray, and we expect to hear from Ray again today, but we've heard from Ray each and every day here on WKAR's Current Sports. And you know, I want to say this, too, because, you know, I've been trying to put my finger on the pulse of what some national media members feel when evaluating this game. And again, most of them are choosing Michigan to win on Saturday. And I get it. You know, Michigan, this is a top 10 ranked team. They looked very good against the Wisconsin Badgers on Saturday night at the Big House. Shea Patterson does seem to be improving. And I had reserved some hardcore evaluation on the Wolverines until I saw them play Wisconsin, you know, because that week one loss to Notre Dame, you know, you're supposed to beat teams like Western Michigan, right? You know, you're supposed to handle those kind of teams. And they did. You know, they went on a roll and handled business against some lowly competition leading up to that Wisconsin game. But I said, okay, let's see what they're really made of against Wisconsin. And they won that game very convincingly. Now bumping them up in the rankings now. They are now a top 10 team. Michigan State, with the Penn State game aside, for the most part, Michigan State has been a bit underwhelming this year. Utah State, it started there. Michigan State made that one a close one. They still won nonetheless, but that was ugly. Then they come out and, you know, against Central Michigan, they handle business by getting the win, but they don't look very convincing in that game. Central made that one very close. And then the loss to Northwestern, it was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, Spartan Nation just threw in the towel, I feel like, after that loss. They did crumble against Northwestern. And the thing is, I mean, you, after that game, you go on the road and you beat Penn State. It's like you can't really read Michigan State right now. They're a bit of a question mark right now. I mean, I could see Michigan State bringing it on Saturday, which I think they will. I mean, they get up, you know, and this is a rivalry matchup. When you talk about a rivalry like Michigan and Michigan State, where both teams hate each other, and hate is a strong word, but they both hate each other. You know, fans don't like each other. You know, the week starts off, oh, yeah, the rivalry matchup, yeah, okay. And then when Saturday morning comes, just wait Saturday morning. You know, if you're a fan of the maize and blue, if you're a fan of the green and white, just try having a conversation with the opposition. It will not go well. It will get personal, maybe. There's going to be some trash talk that will be had. You will not like that opposite color of your team come Saturday morning. It's going to get real. This is an ugly rivalry. But when you look at, you know, this game, though, I understand why the national media is choosing Michigan, though, because of what happened on Saturday against Wisconsin. And when looking at Michigan State, sure, the Penn State game was epic. I mean, that was huge. Big win, Happy Valley, that kind of atmosphere. But for the most part, Michigan State, you know, has still been a bit rocky. Okay, they're not ranked in the coaches poll, and they're ranked 24th in the Associated Press poll. Michigan right now is a touchdown favorite. But, you know, there are takes in just choosing a winner in this game, choosing Michigan State to win or choosing Michigan to win. And then there are takes where I just scratch my head and say, are you kidding me? And again, I'm not bashing anybody's reporting here. I don't do that. That's not the kind of radio host I am. That's not the kind of journalist that I am. It's not the kind of person that I am. But, you know, this piece just puzzled me. I just don't understand. And it comes off a bit tone deaf to me. You know, I don't know if Carlos Menares of the Detroit Free Press truly understands the essence of this rivalry. Alec, have you seen the piece that was written today by Carlos?
I have not, no.
I kind of had to do a double take when I saw it this morning. It's entitled, Why I'm Rooting for Michigan to Beat Michigan State, and You Should Too. That's the title of the piece.
I thought being a journalist, you had to be objective.
I guess not. If you're a columnist, you know what I mean? If you write a column, you gotta have a hardcore stance. So I get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, we read Graham Couch here, and Graham has hard takes on certain things. It's not like Carlos is not a beat writer for either one of these teams.
Yeah, that's what kind of confuses me.
Yeah, but if you're, I just don't understand how as someone who covers sports in the state of Michigan, why you would ever think that either one of these teams would root for the other. I just want to read real quick here just where Carlos is coming from with this piece. Quote, again, I'm reading directly from this piece coming from the Detroit Free Press. Carlos Menares writes, quote, sports writers root for only three things: Marriott points, quick games, and flight bumps. We are never supposed to root for the teams we cover, but I'm making an exception this week. I'm rooting for Michigan to beat Michigan State on Saturday. Here's the reason. Michigan has a much better chance than Michigan State does to qualify for the college football playoff. Make college football relevant in our state in November and strengthen the Big Ten by reminding everyone it's more than a one-team conference. If you're a State fan, your blood's probably boiling right now. Side note, yeah, you're right, Carlos. He got that right in the article. As he continues to write, quote, wishing that Michigan does well against your team isn't anathema. It's blasphemy. You're probably hoping they never win another game. Disband the team, tear down the stadium, and salt the earth so that never grows there again. But MSU fans have to face the fact they need Michigan. They're like family members. Notice I didn't say brothers. Who have a tense and grudging relationship but must unite against the bully down the street. Michigan needs Michigan State, too, because this is also about more than taking down Ohio State. There isn't some high-minded political pursuit or a religious dissertation. It's a turf war. It's a street fight. It's about respect. It's about the Big Ten and the Midwest and schools located in cities no one else would willingly visit. The rest of the country views the Big Ten as nothing more than Ohio State and a crazed, shirtless Jim Harbaugh running around a football camp. If they think of MSU at all, they think of it as that other school in Michigan that may or may not be coached by some guy named Mike or Mark. I'm going to stop there. I won't continue to make your ears bleed, Michigan State fans. But thoughts on this piece? Because, you know, this is a piece where You know, I read this morning and said to myself, this is just completely tone deaf. You know, yeah. I don't, Carlos does not fully understand how this rivalry is to the core of its essence. You know, this is Michigan and Michigan State. These are two teams that battle for supremacy of the state. These are two teams that have had a pretty ugly history. Mike Hart, you know, the whole state game. It's ugly. It's ugly. So, you know, to write a piece like this and to say that you, as a journalist, will be rooting for Michigan to beat Michigan State, I just don't understand that. I just don't get it. I chalk this one up, which is hard to do, but I chalk it up as ignorance. But I just, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where else to go with that. Jack, you were chilling behind the glass just a minute ago, and as soon as I brought up this piece, you said, all right, I got to get in the studio. Jack Kerwin, current sports PA and engineer, just like Alec Rio. Your thoughts on this piece. First off, did you read it this morning? You did read it.
Couple graphs, I couldn't read the whole thing.
you couldn't get through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Your thoughts on this piece from Carlos?
Well, for me, it's not so much about objectivity that Alec brought up, because like you said, he's a columnist. You know, this is the type of piece I guess you could say a columnist would write. With that being said, I mean, this is just such an outer space take for me. It's this idea that, you know, for me, I'm still a student, so I'll call myself a fan. As a Michigan State fan, I'm not rooting for Michigan to win anything that's competitive. So why would I root for Michigan to beat my team under the idea that if they were to do so, they could still qualify for the playoff?
Like, doesn't matter,
that's
right?
That's ridiculous.
You think Michigan was rooting for Michigan State when Michigan State went to the playoff?
I don't want Michigan to make the playoff. I don't like Michigan, and I dislike them far more than I dislike Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wild take for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, Carlos Monterez, I'm sure he's a very lovely man. He's the same guy that wrote at the beginning of this season that the Detroit Lions should trade Matt Stafford for Tom Brady. That would never happen.
Carlos has had some takes.
Yeah,
he's like,
and he just a couple weeks ago when Mario and Rod, when it was discovered that they weren't coming back, his short list for candidates to replace them included Mike Tirico and I think Bob Costas. So, I'm sorry, not Bob Costas. Al Michaels.
Yeah, okay, still
Mike
that's
Tirico. Right,
a big
right.
name.
Why would
two
they
in the same category,
exactly.
Right? But you know, and I'm going to reach out to Carlos because I want him to defend himself. You know, I invite him to come on and give his thoughts on this piece. Here on this rivalry week. So, and again, I'm a good dude. You know, I've watched his, and I read his work at the Detroit Free Press, but I just did not understand why this piece needed to be written. You know, I didn't get it. And Alec, do you think a piece like this, do you think it says anything about just the in-state perception of Michigan and Michigan State in this rivalry? Do you think other people believe this?
No.
In this state?
No.
Or Carlos is just kind of on his own here.
No, that's like yeah. Justin brought up a good point back here. He said that is basically if you were to say to Red Sox fans, hey, I think that we should root for the Yankees, and here's why. It's like you're telling someone to root for a team that they've been born not to like, and they've gone through all their life not liking this team, and then they see a report of someone saying, hey, you should root for this team to win over your team, and here's why. It's like most people are going to see that, and they're going to be like, wait a minute, why are you bringing this up?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, man. All right. Thoughts on the piece from Carlos Menares?
Hang on, probably. I got one more thing, if you don't mind.
Yo, go ahead, please.
Yeah, to
please.
Me, this take, when I first heard it, to me, I kind of took this take as, you know, when bowl season rolls around and everyone kind of makes the argument that Michigan State as a Big Ten school should root for the other Big Ten schools in their bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's similar to that one.
It is. The tone is, at least.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I get this a lot with, I will say this, my stepdad, you know, he doesn't fully understand the rivalry. My
right.
stepdad never went to Michigan State. He never went to Michigan. He looks at this. It's kind of like my grandmother's the same way. They look at it like, okay, well, they both have the Michigan name on it. Mm. You know, don't you want somebody from the state to represent you? I mean, you know, why not root for Michigan? Don't you want to be represented, this state to be represented in some way, shape, form, or capacity? Again, that's tone deaf. You don't
right.
understand
right.
the rivalry
if you make a statement like that.
And you know what? I got to level with you. I've never even understood the whole take of you should root for other Big Ten teams come bowl season, because, like, I got to level with you. I don't give a damn about whether or not Iowa wins their bowl or whether or not Nebraska
wins
their bowl.
Right, I don't either.
Right, exactly.
I don't either.
So I've never understood that take. And to me, this is kind of a similar take, but it's dialed up to 11. It cuts a little bit deeper just because this is a rivalry. And I just don't understand how you could formulate the opinion that Spartan fans, or Wolverine fans for that matter, should root for the rival school to win the big rivalry game in any context, really.
Right. I'm with you on that, Jack. All right. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to bring up some numbers that really kind of put in perspective the dominance that Mark Antonio has had throughout his tenure here at Michigan State, going against in-state rival Michigan. And we'll also play to you the smackdown from last year between former Michigan State safety Otis Wiley and former Michigan linebacker Alan Gant. Entertaining stuff. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up segment A, discussing the piece from Carlos Menares today in the Detroit Free Press entitled, Why I'm Rooting for Michigan to Beat Michigan State and You Should Too. Getting some reaction on our Facebook page right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. And Ben says, I just missed the other comment here. Okay, here we go. No Spartan should ever root for that school from down the road. That shows that they are not loyal if they root for Michigan rather than their own team. And then Ben goes on to say, Carlos is a traitor. Tell us how you really feel, Ben. And we also have VDOT, who's weighing in on social media, and he says, tell him, Al Martin. And I'm just, you know, I just keep it real. I look at this piece, and again, I want to make this clear. I'm not bashing Carlos Menares as a reporter, as a journalist. I am just dissecting his piece and giving you my take on the piece that he wrote. All right? I'm not coming at Carlos. And again, I'm gonna reach out to him, and maybe we can get him on the show tomorrow to put into perspective, you know, what he was thinking when he wrote it and what kind of point he's trying to hammer home. I kind of get his point, though. I mean, I understand, that's the wrong word. I understand what he's trying to say. I just don't agree with it. He's basically trying to say, look, you know, Michigan State, you should root for the conference. You should root for the state of Michigan. And right now, when comparing the two teams, Michigan has the better road to a possible college football playoff appearance. Don't you want the state represented, Michigan State fans? Well, you should root for the maize and blue. Nah, never going to happen. Never in a million years. You're missing the true essence of this rivalry, okay? All right. And, you know, I want to go by the numbers real quick here because I think these numbers are pretty in your face. I know Michigan State is the underdog in this matchup. I know that U of M, coming off a big win against Wisconsin, national TV, College Game Day in the house, it's a big win for Michigan. Michigan has looked good these past few weeks. Shea Patterson seems to be improving by the week. Caron Higdon, bruising defenses. That Dan Brown-led defense looks good. Michigan, the touchdown favorite in this matchup, but Mark D'Antonio loves being the underdog. He loves when the odds and the chips are stacked against him. And here are a few numbers that put things in perspective. Mark D'Antonio has an 8-3 record. 8-3 record against the Michigan Wolverines since he took over the program in November of 06. Since taking over the Spartans, Coach D has won 8 of the 11 contests against Michigan. His 8 wins are the most of any active coach in the Big Ten. Ohio State's Urban Meyer has 6. as well as the entire country against Michigan. Antonio was 2-1 against current Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh. Also has the best winning percentage at a 72% clip of any coach in Michigan State history against U of M. Even if you look at Coach D's three losses, each of them came in a rebuilding year for Michigan State. 2016, a 3-9 year. 2012, they went 7-6 that year. And 2007, they also went 7-6 then. And 2007, that was Coach D's first season as head coach. In 2012, that was the whole, if you remember, the Andrew Maxwell experiment. So, yeah, that puts things in perspective a bit. Also, Coach D'Antonio's record against the point spread. I mentioned, again, Michigan is a touchdown favorite in this game. Mark D'Antonio against the spread when taking on Michigan in those 11 games, he is a perfect 11-0. That's pretty amazing. 11-0 against the spread when facing the Michigan Wolverines. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Also, cumulative points per game and points allowed against the Wolverines, 25.9. Michigan State has scored 285 total points in 11 games against Michigan under D'Antonio's tenure. The most MSU has scored against the Wolverines during Coach D's tenure is 35, which happened in 2008 and 2013. The lowest was 10 back in 2012 in that 12-10 loss. Points allowed per game against the Wolverines, that Spartan defense has allowed just 194 total points in the 11 games from 07 to 2017. That's an average clip of 17.6 points per game. The lowest amount of points that MSU has allowed in this rivalry under D'Antonio is 6, which happened in 2013. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. So, you know, we can look at the turnovers and penalties as well. Michigan State, you know, averages in the rivalry under D'Antonio 1.27 turnovers per game. That's not a lot. Michigan at 2.09 per game. 23 total for Michigan, 14 total for Michigan State. When it comes to penalties, Michigan State averages 7.81 penalties per game against Michigan. Michigan averages 4.90 against Michigan State, which is less than. So Michigan State has easily been the more penalized team in this rivalry. Rushing yards, Michigan State allows 174. Michigan State allows 174 on average on the ground during D'Antonio's tenure. Michigan has allowed 89 yards per game on the ground. Passing 215 is what Michigan State gives up on average. Michigan gives up 100 and has given up 190.81 through the air against Michigan State. So all this to say that when it comes to keys in winning this game for Michigan State, you know, you got to stay disciplined, right? Also, win the rushing battle, protect the ball, win the turnover battle. And I think Michigan State pulls out the dub. But this is going to be a close game. I'll go more into my prediction on tomorrow's show. All right, that's when we really dive into the X's and the O's and we'll break down this game. I want to have some fun right now, though. I want to throw right now to a piece that we did last year with former Michigan State safety Otis Wiley and former Michigan linebacker Alan Gant, two players who have played in this rivalry matchup, not too far removed from it. And we had a trash-talking segment between the two during last year's rivalry week. So on this Thursday, which we do call Throwback Thursday, we have a throwback smack-off talk between Alan Gant and Otis Wiley.
I find a lot of the things that they do amusing.
They
need to check themselves sometimes. But just remember, pride comes before the fall.
I was just laughing. I thought it was funny. You know, they got excited. It's good. You know, sometimes you get your little brother excited when you're playing basketball and stuff. Let him get the lead. And then you just come back and take it back.
All right, here we go. Tell you what, so you know the order here. Again, we've got Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety, and Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker, on the phone right now to start off this segment. Before they break down the game, we're going to embrace trash talk right now. I want you guys to bring it. You know, we don't need any FCC violations, so keep it clean. We don't want any curse words thrown out, okay?
Man, I was just going to say, keeping it as PG as possible.
Yes. Yeah, keep it PG, but still bring it, okay? I know that's kind of hard to do, but still bring it, all right, fellas? So, again, we're going to start with Otis. So, Otis, when you hear this, Isaac, play it one more time. The bell. We got a bell that we'll play. Play the bell real quick. So, Otis, when you hear that, the next time you hear that, just go, okay?
All right.
We start with Otis Wiley. Otis, you are up. Here we go.
All right. It's 2011. Last time you Blue Bellies beat the Buckeyes. Now let's talk about how Michigan State Spartans have had a chance to beat Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes. But I want to say Michigan Wolverines have focused on that rival versus focused on the in-state rival when we've owned it. And I took a picture on Facebook, actually on my Snapchat, took a picture of that 2008 game where we started to kick off that Royal Feke beating. I blame the little person, Mike Hart, for starting this. You guys have had the curse, the gift of the curse when it comes to this. Last year, it was a great game. You guys won. But think about the past 10 years. I talk about how Wolverines fail to show respect because the Wolverine Nation focused on the past. I said, the late, great Muhammad Ali says, and quote, a man who views the world the same at 50 as he did at 20 has wasted 30 years of his life. Now, you think about Michigan Wolverine fans, they're in the wilderness. They're in the woods. If you grew up as a Michigan State resident, you think about this game means a lot. We're talking about from the elementary backyard, playground, all the way up to corporate America. This means a lot for our state, great state. I took a poll for some fans that are local that send me some stuff for, like, some, I don't know if these are jokes, but this is not me, but quote, do the Wolverines need directions to Indy? I'm just asking, you know, do you know how to get here to Indianapolis to get to the Big Ten championship past decade? That's all I got right now because I can't go hardcore like I want to go hardcore. But you out-of-staters, you have no clue what this means. My blood boils when I think about Wolverines, man. But all in all, the woodshed, we're bringing it to Ann Arbor, and it's going to be a royal beatdown. And look, my last thing. 2011, it was the New York Times. Jordan Kovacs is quoted, they pounded us. Now, what kind of Wolverine, a football player, says they pounded us? Think about that, man. We are a blue-collar, hardcore, GM, bred, on the assembly line, ready to bull, hit you right in the mouth. Let's go. Go green all the way, pound green, pound.
All right. Otis Wiley, you brought the heat, brother. You brought the heat. Great job. Again, we're asking our listeners out there to vote on who has the best trash talk spiel. That was, again, Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety. And now we will hand the mic over to Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. Alan, when you hear the bell, bring the heat, okay?
Gotcha.
Here we go.
Okay, let's take a step back real quick. I do understand I'm from Ohio, so I might not completely understand how much it means to the folks up in East Lansing. Just a little bit. But here's the thing. Mike Hart made a really, really, really good thing by calling you guys little brother. And actually, I call you guys a little sister because in my family, it's just me and my sister. And sometimes, you know, growing up in my childhood, I would constantly beat my sister at every single game. And even if I had a brother, I'm sure I'd beat him at every single game as well. But then, you know, finally, my sister became good at some things. I let her win a few games playing basketball, playing horse. That's kind of like what we've done in the past. I mean, let's be real. The Michigan-Ohio State rivalry is a little bit more, I should say, important to us. I mean, if Mike Hart didn't say that, I mean, I don't think the rivalry would have even been relevant playing Michigan State. And, you know, it's good. I'm glad that you guys had some nice little runs for the past decade and all. But let's face it, we're Big Blue. Y'all little sister. There's no comparison. I mean, the people can't even get into Michigan go to Michigan State. Let's just really look at that. Y'all look up to us. We had the most wins in college football. Yeah, you might have had a good, we'll say maybe 7-8 years, whatever. And I know my last year, pure luck. Pure luck with the muff fumble, the muff punt and everything. But let's just really look at the overall picture. This Michigan-Michigan State rivalry is always fun, but you guys are trying to make it relevant. So that's all I got to say. I'm excited about tomorrow. I can't wait to get little sister in the big house and give him a good old-fashioned beat down. That's all I got to say. I'm out. Drop the mic.
Drop the mic. And there it is. We have to do this every year now, Isaac. Our very first ever annual. I think I'm just going to say annual now. We're going to make this an annual thing. Our annual Michigan and Michigan State trash talk duel between Alan Gant and Otis Wiley. Fellas, you brought it. Alan, man, you really brought it, dude. I mean, the little sister comment, and you know, you come to Michigan State when you can't get into U of M. Oh man, you went personal there. Otis, you brought the heat as well, my man. That was fun. Great job, fellas.
Rose Bowl champs.
Otis is bringing up Rose Bowl champs. Who do you think won that battle? Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports, and even tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, gents, briefly before we get you out of here, and again, we appreciate you taking some time out to talk some trash, right? But I want to start by the final question for both of you guys due to time. I want to start with Otis. Otis, when looking at this game, I just want you to just finish the sentence. Michigan State wins if...
Michigan State wins if we establish that run game. And I think it's the momentum and the pace for the game is setting the tone, making sure that we're always in control of that time, possession. I mean, it always goes down to running game. Obviously, we're talking about special teams because we want to go back to that botch punt. So we think about that, and then we talk about our offense, our defense, just controlling the tempo, controlling the momentum. We know that Michigan's going to make plays. Michigan State is going to make plays, but it's all about in the trenches at the crunch time, who can make the solid play. That's Michigan State will win if we establish our run game.
Okay, give me a score, Otis.
You said what? I couldn't hear you.
Give me a score. Give me a final score.
Final score. I say 28-24.
Wow.
Michigan State.
High scoring game. Okay. All right, Alan, Michigan wins if.
You know, and I got to agree with Otis on this one. The run game is going to be very key, and it would take a lot of pressure off John O'Korn if we establish the run game. And kind of like Otis said, as far as the Michigan State side, you got to control the line of scrimmage. You got to control in the trenches. And you know, the weather isn't looking too hot as of right now. So definitely that's a major thing for Michigan to come out and win this game. And also, like Otis said as well, the special teams play. I mean, you look at what happened a couple years ago, you know, we played really well in the special teams. Outside the last play of the game, the special teams dominated for Michigan, dominated the whole entire game. I remember Blake O'Neal, he was punting the ball, probably his best game he's ever punted. And field position played a big part in that, especially if the weather's going to be raining and, you know, a little shaky. I think that special teams is going to play a very big role in this and have a very big impact as well. So, keys of the game, control the line of scrimmage, run the ball, and make it simple for John O'Korn to be successful.
Final score, Alan.
Final score. I'm actually taking it a 24-14 win for the Wolverines.
Okay. Wolverines get it by 10. Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety. Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. Fellas, thank you so much. This was fun.
Thanks for having us, Al. Hey, respect. Alex, respect, man.
I hear you. All right, guys. All right, great job. You guys kept it clean. That was the main thing with me. I was a little bit nervous. All right.
Hey, that Flint sound coming out, Al.
I know, right? You had to bite down real quick, man, because it could have got ugly here. This ain't HBO, all right?
Right.
All right, gents. Looking forward to tomorrow's game, and thank you guys so much. That was a cool throwback bite, wasn't it? Yeah, cool throwback segment between Alan Gant and Otis Wiley, and we all know what happened. And I don't think, well, Alan did bring it up. The weather became the factor in the second half of that game, and Michigan State won. So he was wrong in that regard. 14-10, the final in that rainy win. for the Spartans at the Big House last year. All right. Rain is expected this Saturday as well, but a monsoon, don't bet on that coming on Saturday afternoon when the Spartans and Wolverines go at it. I don't think that's in the forecast, at least. And I knock on wood as I say that as well. All right, line one, you know who's calling. Ray from Indiana wants to talk some smack when it comes to the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry. Ray, the mic is yours to close out the show.
Go Sparties! Beat the Bullies! The Bullies are coming to town, ha-ha. The Bullies are coming to town, ha-ha. The Bullies are coming to town, ha-ha. The Bullies are coming to town. Beat them by, I'll take a one-point victory, Michigan State.
Ray, that song, you got to tell me, how long have you been practicing that diddle there?
Why, I was out jogging.
That needs to be a new bite.
Oh, that's a new bite. We gotta put that in our rotation as well.
Absolutely.
The Bullies are coming to town, huh? Take care, buddy.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
Ray from Indiana. Oh my goodness. Oh, he's my favorite caller. Ray, I don't know if there's another caller that can top that. Ray from Indiana always bringing it. Okay, we have 2 minutes left here in the hour. I want to hear from you guys. Just a brief preview on tomorrow's current sports. You know, we'll be breaking down and dissecting the big rivalry matchup from an X's and O's standpoint. I'm hoping to get a former player on the air to talk about it. And I want to hear from you. I'm going to make tomorrow's show all about you guys. I want to hear your thoughts, final thoughts on this game. You know, I feel like we have totally exhausted conversation when it comes to the Wolverines and Spartans, as we do each and every year when discussing this matchup. And also, I'm getting a response here from Donnie, who weighs in on Twitter, who has a response to the Carlos Menares article. He says, that article was trash, Al. No way I would root for my team to lose because the other has a better chance of making the playoff. We still need to compete. You play to win the game, as our introduction always says at the beginning of the show. Preach on, Donnie. I'm right there with you, man. All right. We now bid you all adieu. We are now on a 23-hour break, and we will see you tomorrow on Rivalry Eve, Michigan and Michigan State, Saturday at noon. Trust me, you do not want to miss tomorrow's current sports. Until then, we will see you at 1 p.m. on Friday. I'm your host, Al Martin, reminding you all to be easy, people.